Psalm 143, Psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate in all thy works. I muse in the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Amen. I don't doubt, but you realise that words matter. Words matter. And it's amazing the variety of words that we can use to describe the same thing or to express the same thing. But it's interesting because all these different words have different shades of meaning. And sometimes we can use one word rather than another word, and by the choice of that word can make certain, we can imply certain things. And so by the use of language, we can say more than what is said. I was reading a book about a Bulgarian pastor who was persecuted for his faith. He was imprisoned for a number of years. He was dealt with very unjustly. And toward the end of the time, he was to be released. And he was to be released despite the best efforts of his persecutors to keep him in prison. And although his persecutors could see that he was about to be released, they tried to get some concession from him to acknowledge the justice of his imprisonment. But his imprisonment wasn't just, and therefore he wasn't willing to sign any of the confessions that they wanted him to make. And then the interrogator said, well, why don't you write, I promise to obey the law of our nation? And the man considered, and he said, I refuse to make that statement and to sign it. He said, as a Christian, I believe it is right that I obey the laws of my nation. He says, as a citizen, I am obliged to obey the laws of my nation. But I refuse to make that statement and to sign it because it will imply that I wasn't keeping the laws of the nation. Why should I, rather than anyone else, have to say, I promise to keep the law? We have to keep the law. Pastor was wise. He understood how his words might be taken to imply something other than what he meant or what he wanted them to mean. And how many times have maybe you been hurt when you've heard what someone has said to you, or you've heard what someone has said about you, and what you're hurt by is what's implied. not necessarily by what's said, but you've maybe correctly understood what was implied. Or maybe you've wrongly understood. But nevertheless, it's hurt you. And sometimes it's afterward, isn't it? As you reflect upon the shades of meaning and you see that that had an insinuation. And yet when something is implied, it's not so easy to challenge, is it? Because it's not been said. It's just implied. It's kind of there. And so that maybe leaves you sensitive. Careful when you listen. Careful when you speak. You've noticed when people send text messages, sometimes they use the emoticons. These little faces, the happy faces, the smiley face, the cheeky face. Why? It's because when you're communicating a text message, it's a very brief message. And it's open to misunderstanding. And that little smiley face shows that you mean no harm. It's a way of safely saying what might be misunderstood. Because it's important that words are not misunderstood. It's important to keep, to try to protect your words from being misunderstood. And maybe because of that, you're careful when you speak, and perhaps even you maybe tie yourselves in knots before you do speak, because you're scared that you're going to create a greater problem, particularly if you're unhappy with something, or you're unhappy with someone. And maybe you go over and over it in your mind, and you go through the various scenarios. Maybe you end up bottling up and saying nothing, because you're fearful it come out wrong. And then sometimes, because you've bottled it up, sometimes it kind of comes out anyway. And at that point often it's blurted out, and it is. It does maybe do more damage. There's a danger we take that approach into prayer, where it goes round and round in your head. And there are certain things that burden you or concern you. And so it's going round and round in your head, but it doesn't actually get expressed. You know, sometimes you can come close to prayer without actually praying. It goes round and round in your head, and so in a sense, it kind of feels like prayer, but actually, it was never actually addressed. It never went anywhere. It can be a very disappointing experience because it's a disappointing prayer, because it isn't prayer. And that's one of the reasons why verbal prayer is helpful. Verbal prayer doesn't have to be audible. Think of Hannah in the temple. Her lips moved, but she spoke in her heart. But because her lips moved, she was able to take that burden from her heart and to direct it to the Lord. Words matter. We must be wise in the words that we use. And yet, are you never amazed at what you might call some of the blunt statements that we find in God's word, particularly in the Psalms? Not just that they're brief and concise, but sometimes it almost feels irreverent, doesn't it? It almost feels presumptuous. Look at verse 7. Of this psalm. Hear me speedily, O Lord. Hide not thy face from me. That could be taken to imply that God is slow to hear, that God is slow to respond, that God does not care, that God has not noticed, that God will turn away his face, that God will reject, that God will ignore. Hear me speedily. Hide not thy face from me. And yet, these words are not presumptuous, and they're not irreverent, and they're not misunderstood, and they're not taken by the Lord to imply any criticism or any complaint, because the Lord understands. The Lord understands your intention. It says in Psalm 103, for he remembers we are dust, and he our frame well knows. He understands it from our perspective. And we might say that God would excuse what might be considered to be an imprecise, uncertain expression. And I want you to hear that tonight, because I don't want you to be tongue-tied. I don't want you to be bound and fearful of coming before God, but rather to cry out, to give voice even to your doubts and to your fears. Even doubts as to God's good purpose and his perfect control. Because in expressing your doubts to God, you're doing something with these doubts. You're not allowing these doubts to dominate. Rather, you're bringing them to him and seeking his mercy. Hear me speak, O Lord. Hide not thy face from me. Words matter. Remember in the Ten Commandments, the third commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Catechism helps us understand it by telling us that the third commandment requires the holy, reverent use of God's names and titles and attributes, ordinances, word and works. And it forbids all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. Although we must speak the name of God with reverence, and we must address God with reverence, yet you can bring your cries, even your muddled cries. I know that it says in Ecclesiastes, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. But that does not mean that you cannot, as a believer, come rushing into the presence of God and crying out with an urgency in the midst of the confusion of life without fear of misunderstanding. The person doesn't know your heart. Your words may be ambiguous. But the Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows your heart. And that means that you do not have to come with a perfectly composed prayer. Who could come with a perfectly composed prayer? Not one of us. If it's to be composed by ourselves. But come rather with a focus upon him who has been addressed. Now Martin Luther said, oh, if only I could pray in the way that my puppy stares at meat. You think of a dog, a hungry dog, sitting and its eyes fixed on the meat. If only I could pray with the intensity of that gaze, of that desire, unspoken perhaps, and yet fixed. Oh, that I could pray like that. Well, we can call out to God and ask him to teach us to pray, to help us to pray, and to hear our prayer. Look at the end of the psalm. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. You may not think of yourself as much of a servant. You may be the least of all servants. You're a servant of the King. You have a claim upon the King. And you can open your mouth and cry unto him with a confidence that he will understand, that he will not despise, that he will not misrepresent what you say or what you desire to say. but will answer you speedily. Amen.